Personally, I didn't recognize all of the songs this morning, but I certainly recognized that last one. I love that prayer before we direct ourselves to God's Word. The expression, "Speak, O Lord, speak, O Lord." As we come to you to receive now the food of your holy word, and that's one reason we gather for an hour, is that we can hear the voice of our God and a message from his holy word. I mentioned to you last week we're in the season of Lent, and last week we focused on the conspiracy that took place that led to the death of Jesus on the cross, conspiracy building. Today we're going to focus in on the betrayal, a sad event. Next time I'm with you in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at the trial of Jesus, and then we'll go from there. But in preaching today, I want to put before you a very sad and tragic happening. It's the betrayal of Jesus of Nazareth by one named Judas. Judas is Iscariot. I'm sure we've all heard of Judas. Perhaps the villain of all villains, the most terrible of all traitors, perhaps, who ever lived on the face of this earth. The fact is, in his famous play, Divine Comedy, Dante places Judas in the deep chasm of hell's inferno in that play. He pictures Satan munching on him as a steady diet. Judas is Satan's prize pupil, his prize catch. For just a few moments this morning, we want to hear, as it were, the voice of Judas speaking to us. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 26, selected verses this morning. I begin with verse 6. "While Jesus was once at Bethany in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. 'Why this waste?' they asked. 'This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor.' Aware of this, Jesus said to them, 'Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.' Then one of the 12, the one called Judas is Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?' So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over." On to verse 20. "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad, began to say to him, one after another, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as is written of him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not ever been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.'" And then on to verse 47. "While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large number armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi." He kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and they arrested him. Thus far the reading from God's word. Dear friends, that's right, Judas. My name is Judas. I was the one who betrayed Jesus. I was the one who, in history, lived so very close to the kingdom of God, to the King, to the Savior, Jesus. I was one of the original 12 disciples. Yet, being so close, I never arrived in heaven. I ended up in that place of eternal torment. I betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Allow me briefly to share with you what happened, how it happened. I was born in that little town of Kirioth some 2,000 years ago plus. Kirioth, small village, about 30 miles to the south of Jerusalem in Judah. My parents loved me dearly when I was born. They gave me a very special name. It was Judas, meaning praise to God. Since I was from Kirioth, it became Judas Iscariot or Judas from Kirioth. Frankly, it would have broken the hearts of my parents when I was born. If they would have heard what is written in the scriptures, Matthew 26, verse 24, in your Bibles, it would have been better if this man had never been born. Better if this child had never been born. Little did they know what was going to happen to me. Little did I know when I was a child. So young. I was raised like the other boys in Judea, good Jewish homes, religious homes. We went to synagogue weekly to know and to believe in the God of our fathers. We learned the laws of God and we sought to obey them as best we could. I grew up as one quite interested in spiritual things. That being the case, one day a very exciting thing happened. There was this new rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus. And he asked me, along with some others, to be one of his Talmudim, or one of his followers, one of his disciples. You can read about that in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. Maybe you're wondering, why would Jesus, knowing you, why would he choose you to be one of his followers, his disciples? Well, there's that phrase there in Mark 3. It simply says this: he called to him whom he wanted or whom he desired. His choosing for disciples was all based upon grace. It was based upon grace. He didn't choose the most scholarly ones. He didn't choose the most mannerly ones, the most wealthy ones, even the most spiritual ones. Just 12 very ordinary persons. For 2 years, I had the privilege of living very near Rabbi Jesus. I had the privilege of hearing his teachings, of witnessing his miracles. I saw this servant of all servants in action day by day, God in human flesh. But I know this morning the question you want answered. Judas, why did you do it? How could you do it? You know, the betrayal. Let me try to explain. My fall didn't happen in one moment or in one day. I had a problem. I had a weakness, I guess, a sinful habit. At first, I thought I could control it. Later on, frankly, that habit got to control me. It was this thing of greed. Greed. A deadly cancer that began to grow in my heart and in my life. You see, I was the treasurer of the disciple group, or the keeper of the money bag, as you read in John 12, verse 6. And I would often take something of what was put in that bag for myself. To myself, I would say, I'm just borrowing this. I will return it. But I did not do that. And then I would borrow some more, larger amounts, without returning it. It all seemed so easy. No one was noticing. I wasn't accountable. Little did I know that Jesus could see all and was seeing all. He knew exactly what I had borrowed and not returned. He spoke to me through my conscience, wanting me to stop, wanting me to confess, to change my evil way, but I didn't listen. I didn't want to listen. One day, he was teaching. I was nearby. I remember yet so well what he said on that occasion. It's in Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles. These were his words. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, said he, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing hid that will not be known. Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. What a warning for me. But I didn't listen. I kept on sinning. I kept on stealing. Just by way of insertion here, I want us to understand that we must listen to the warnings of God that are spoken through our conscience, that are spoken in God's word, that are spoken through a pulpit, maybe by a parent, by a friend, whatever. God speaks to us. We come under conviction. If we discard the warnings of God, we're going to be sorry, deeply sorry. As Judas, as I continued in my evil habit, that great love I had for Jesus at first, it began to fade. You know, secret sinning or sin that's unconfessed will do that. Your love for the Lord fades. You become a hypocrite. Soon I began to disagree with Jesus in his teachings, to argue with him. I began to dislike this rabbi I was following. Like the time we were at the house of Simon the leper. You read about that this morning in your Bibles, Matthew 26. You read what happened there. All the Gospels record this event. But John in his Gospel, chapter 12, verse 4, identifies me, Judas, as the one who questioned Jesus in regard to this precious ointment that was poured on him by Mary. Mary was one who loved Jesus. She loved Jesus so much. She loved Jesus with her whole heart. Mary could never give enough to Jesus. She took that jar, broke off the neck, poured it all on Jesus. She only wishes she would have yet more to give. I observed that expensive ointment poured on the head of my rabbi. And I thought, what a waste. What a waste. I said to this woman, "What are you doing? This ointment could have been sold for 300 denarii in the money given to the poor." But Jesus, you know, defended her. "Don't bother her," he said. "She has done a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing." My rabbi knew that if this was sold for 300 denarii, the money given to me, the treasurer, chances are that money would never find its way to the poor. And he was right. I grew to resent my rabbi, to hate him. Matthew 26, verse 14, you read how immediately after this Bethany happening with Mary, these words, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, he went to the chief priest and he asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?'" Dislike had now turned to hatred. "Even though I stayed a part of that disciple group, I formed a part of another group in my heart. The group that wanted to be rid of this Jesus. I no longer wanted to hear his teachings, the truth of God from him, in which he said that, 'What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?' When he said, 'No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money.' It seemed in his teaching that he always had his eye focused on me. His words were directed towards my sinful heart. And I could take it no longer. So I made a deal, as you read, with some religious leaders. For 30 pieces of silver, oh, did they know how to get through to me. They knew my weakness. For 30 pieces of silver, I would betray Jesus and bring him into their hands. And I did. I did. How it happened? You read. 30 pieces of silver, and by means of a kiss, I did it. I committed the most horrible and despicable of all sins. I betrayed an innocent man, the Son of God. I led him to be arrested by some bloodthirsty, vile, and guilty men. And I thought, having done that, that I might find some relief, that I would feel good that this was now done, but it was just the opposite. I felt rotten and ashamed, deeply guilty. I knew I had betrayed an innocent, righteous man. The 30 pieces of silver felt like lead in my pockets. The jingle of those coins sent shivers up my spine. And I wanted to make things right that I had done wrong, to undo what I had done. You can read about it in Matthew 27. I took the money back to the priest and the elders. "I have sinned," I said. "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." Their cold, callous response, I will never forget. "What is that to us? See to it yourself." What a way to treat my bleeding heart. Smirks on their faces, scorn in their voices. "So what? Don't bother us with your hurt, with your pain, with your guilt." I could take no more. And so you read Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. Throwing the pieces of silver in the temple, Judas left or departed. He went out. He hanged himself. That is what I did. That is how I died. Death did not end my misery as I might have hoped. It only increased it. Now I live forever in that place of eternal misery and torment. I hope you've listened to my voice today, that you've learned from me, because my life will always stand as a warning to people. Watch out for the vice of greed. Watch out. Watch out. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't ever turn your back on Jesus. That's the action that will lead you to the pit of hell. I know. My name is Judas. Somber story. Sad ending. We ask again this morning, Judas, why did you do what you did? Why did you do? Was it maybe when you were at the house of Simon the leper that you realized that Jesus knew what you were doing? You felt exposed. He saw into your heart and into that money bag. And you made the decision that you must get rid of this one who knew too much about you. You know, that's sometimes why people make bad, bad decisions. Even deaths occur. Because a certain person has evidence. Or they're a witness. That happens. Was it that? Or was it that Judas and some others too had become so disappointed and disillusioned with Jesus as the presumed Messiah? His talk that the Messiah must suffer and die? When they wanted their Messiah to be a king who would free them from the slavery to Rome? This Messiah who disappointed, might that have contributed to this? Maybe? Or was the action of Judas in the garden when he betrayed Jesus kind of a last desperate attempt on his part to force Jesus into a situation where he was surrounded by the enemy and he would have to reveal his kingly power, being the Son of God, that he would destroy the enemy? Was it like the kiss of Judas being the lighting of an explosive? Now, hopefully, having Jesus deal with the enemy in some dramatic way? Or might it have simply been greed? Greed. The desire on Judas's part for 30 pieces of silver. To do this action or almost any action. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of all these reasons. John's gospel simply tells us in chapter 13 that Satan entered into Judas's heart. Satan entered into Judas's heart. Judas invited him in. And when you invite Satan in, watch out. Watch out. As I come to the close this morning, I know no one of us here has the name Judas, and I suspect we haven't named our children or have grandchildren with that name either, and that's good. But I want to say that we all have his nature. We all have his potential. His life and action must stand as a warning to us today. In this season of Lent, we ask God in words now from Psalm 139, search me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my thoughts. See if there be some offensive or wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Join me in prayer. Lord, we observe today, this morning, a disciple who had all the privilege and blessing of being close to Jesus, even one of his chosen disciples, yet one who turned away and followed the voice of Satan. He's not the first one to have done that, nor has he been the last. Oh God, may we learn from his fatal error and offer our hearts in a new way to you, Lord Jesus, even on this day. In Christ's name, amen.
My God, fulfilled, full of mercy, heard our weeping, came to bring us home again. My God takes the broken and makes them whole. My God touched the leper, raised the lame, and caused the blind to see. My God has stayed for him and makes them whole.